tonight and to adore Pete Seeger again together. It really is just a simple, great. Great. We will meet by and by. I hope not in the glorious land.
Okay.
Bye, Max. Thank you.
Hi, Max. Good night, Janet.
Say good night, Gracie.
Say good night.
Good night, Gracie.
And I must tell you, now that it is midnight, that the following program, which I hope is the one that I spent so long editing, the Jimmy Dore Show, does contain frank language. And if you feel you will be offended by such language, we urge you, we implore you, we beseech you to tune away for the next hour. And we'll be back with All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp, if I can throw that together while I have my breakfast. This is WBAI New York. You have been warned. It's Jimmy Dore time.
Hey, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
This is Harrison Ford.
Oh, Mr. Ford. What a surprise. How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Good. Can.
Good can? I don't understand.
You asked me two questions, asshole. How am I? Good. Where am I? Cannes.
Oh, Cannes, France. You mean at the Cannes Film Festival?
No other fucking reason to be here.
Yeah, isn't it a beautiful town on the French Riviera, though? Well, what are you there to promote?
I'm here to promote the latest movie in that series, that everybody likes, the
Indiana Jones.
That's it. That's the one. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I didn't come up with that dumb name for sure. I go back in time in this one.
Isn't that a spoiler?
Everyone already knows because of the fucking internet.
Really?
There's also a scene that takes place in the past. So they digitally de-aged me. They can do that now, you know.
Wow.
And the best part, they made my voice sound like this again.
Oh!
Pretty cool, huh?
That's neat. How was the film received?
It received a 6-minute standing ovation.
What? That's amazing.
That's shit, Jimmy. 6 minutes is total shit.
Sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah, well, you don't understand these French weirdos like I do. Giving ridiculously long standing ovations for things they enjoy is part of their culture. Jumping to your feet and clapping at something is an ancient tradition here. A good meal, a good song, sometimes just something that's happening in front of them. A few of these Frenchies even stood up and applauded when Hitler's tanks rolled into Paris. Until some of their friends were like, come on, sit down, not for that.
I see. I got you.
So how good your movie is compared to the other ones is based on how long the audience standing ovation is. Killers of the Flower Moon got 9 minutes. And I get that. Scorsese, De Niro, DiCaprio. It just has long ovation written all over it. But Johnny Depp's weird French movie got more than ours? Come on, man.
Oh, what's it called?
I don't know, some French bullshit title. And some independent film got 8 minutes. 8.
I think you should still be happy with 6.
Fuck that. No one's going to see our movie now.
No one's going to see the first Indiana Jones movie in 15 years?
Not when they hear about this 6-minute shit.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. Did anything else happen at Cannes that made up for it?
No. Everything sucks here. People eat snails. There's French people walking around everywhere. Oh, yeah. No, they did give me a Palme d'Or.
You mean the highest honor bestowed at the festival?
It fucking better be. I'm Harrison fucking Ford. But yeah, that was cool of them, I guess. It was a surprise. They didn't tell me they were going to do it. So I didn't have my gratitude act all planned out. So I had to wing it. I'm a pretty good actor, but it is hard to feign gratitude to frogs.
Frogs is a pretty derogatory term for French people, Harrison.
You honestly believe a single person would be offended by that?
Probably not. Well, enjoy the rest of your stay in France.
I'm sure I won't. I hate it here. The wind coming off the Mediterranean Sea is too windy. The weed here sucks. The nude beaches are beyond disappointing. Get me the hell out of here.
But isn't there culture, cuisine?
I didn't notice.
Well, I hope something cheers you up, buddy.
Yeah, being back home in America land, getting blazed out of my gourd and crashing airplanes. I'm counting the days.
Well, thanks for calling, Megastar Harrison Ford.
I regretted it the moment I died.
I bet you did.
Establishment media sucks. All gas lighting, so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why fomenting this? Watch and see as his jack off the medium speeds and jumps the medium and hits him head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
We have a special guest with us. You know him, you love him. It's the founder of the Gray Zone. It's Max Blumenthal is with us. Hello, Max. How are you?
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Been a while. So the reason why I had Max on is because I am now officially a part of the Ukraine kill list, right? So the Ukraine government has this website, and anybody who tells the truth about the war in Ukraine, they put them on a kill list, and they actually kill some of them. And so I'll just show you what it says on here. Here's what it says up here. It says it's non-government center for research of signs of crimes against the national security of Ukraine, peace, humanity, and the international law. Information for law enforcement authorities and special services about pro-Russian terrorists, separatists, mercenaries, war criminals, and murderers. So that's what that's what they say we are. And so there it is. That's my close up. It's not a bad, it's not a horrible picture. Dissemination of Kremlin process. So then what does it say here? It says dissemination of Kremlin propaganda narratives with an aim of receiving financial compensation from the aggressor country. Justification and informational support of fascist Russia's open attack on Ukraine. And then there's the big page, and it lists all my YouTube stuff that I've when I've told the truth about Ukraine, they list them. That's their evidence for me being a bad person that should be killed. And then down here, it says this. It says the Peacemaker Center asks law enforcement agencies to consider this publication on this site as a statement that this citizen committed a deliberate act against the national security of Ukraine, peace, the security of humanity, and the international legal order, as well as other offenses. Now, this guy, what's his name? David Miller wrote an article about this list. And in it, he says that, so why do they have this list? He says, the issue of Nazism in Ukraine will be seen in retrospect as a defining issue of our era. And it is important to remember that the reason I and many others are threatened by the Ukraine government and their NATO backers is because we, in turn, threaten to expose them for what they are, Nazi collaborators. And that's what the Ukraine government is. As it turns out, the covert kill list website is a product of the Ukraine regime, effectively funded by the CIA, among others, and is hosted by NATO.
Yes.
One extraordinary thing is that the many American citizens, including ex-military and intelligence operatives, are included, as well as significant numbers of citizens of NATO member countries. Perhaps the most remarkable element is that NATO has hosted the site and a collection of affiliated websites on its servers in Brussels. At the same time as NATO think tank, the Atlantic Council boasts that Henry Kissinger is on its board of directors. NATO also hosts a kill list website on which Kissinger appears. So let me bring in Max Blumenthal, who's also on this list, and along with Aaron Mate, who also works at the Gray Zone. And so NATO's hosting this. It's funded by the CIA. Is that true?
Well, I'm actually not on the list, which kind of makes me worried.
Oh, I thought you were on this list. Just Aaron is on it?
Anya.
Aaron and Anya Parampil.
Oh, okay.
Our other colleague at the Gray Zone recently appeared on it just days before you appeared. So they're going after more American public figures and journalists than ever before. And
go ahead.
You know, they say in the upper right-hand corner of the site, if you just go to Miro Dvorets, the Peacemaker website, it says Langley, Virginia, but I don't know if that's just like a troll or what. I don't know who's actually maintaining it. I've seen a lot of evidence that the servers are in Brussels. What's clear to me is that the Ukrainian government, it's not clear to me, it's just, this is just a fact. Elements in the Ukrainian government openly support and promote and participate in the maintenance of this website, this malicious website. One figure is named Anton Gerashenko. He is a special advisor to the Interior Ministry, which oversees the Ukrainian SBU, which is the security services that maintain the death squads that go out and kill suspected collaborators, disappear political dissidents, terrorize elements of the population, political opposition in a completely autocratic society run by Vladimir Zelensky, and that the Ukrainian government and the SBU, well, first of all, the SBU was trained by the CIA after 2014, after this US-backed coup, and the Ukrainian government is like funded directly by us. So, I mean, just based on what's publicly known, we are behind this. And my personal opinion is that this website and there are other initiatives of the Ukrainian government that have targeted me are like a proxy for the US or UK government to attack their own citizens without having to do it directly.
So he actually went into a little bit of detail. I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but I'll give you a little bit of it. He says, let's start with the kill list website itself at Miro Dvorets. Today, it's located at myrotrevets.center, but it was originally at psb4ukr.org. That domain was first registered on the 14th of August, 2014, some 6 months after the U.S.-backed Maidan coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych. Three people are associated with these domains, and they provide valuable clues to who and what was involved in the kill list site. They are Victor Garber, a longstanding Maidan activist and co-coordinator of the Maidan Monitoring Information Center. He was the first registrant of Miro Dvorets, the domain, that's the kill list website, in August of 2014. He had previously owned the domain of Maidan Monitoring from 2001. The group also has its existence. It has been in existence since before the so-called Orange Revolution in 2004. It was, of course, funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, the foundation known as the CIA Sidekick, and the International Renaissance Fund, the Ukraine branch of the Open Society Foundation, run by George Soros. Miro Dvorets lists thousands of saboteurs, separatists, and terrorists and traitors. Sometimes it has crossed out their photographs once they have been killed with the label liquidated. This, for instance, happened after the murder of Daria Dugina in Moscow in August of 2022. Today, the Miro Dvorets site houses links to two other domains, which appear to be integral parts of the operation. So, It is the Ukraine government. They are targeting people. This is funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a CIA cutout. So this is our own tax dollars being used to target journalists in the United States. This seems like it would be a big story, except the people who can make it a big story, the people in the corporate press, aren't ever going to be on that list, so they don't care, right?
No, they're going to be honoring the government behind that list. I mean, this is sick. In 2015, a very popular journalist commentator in Ukraine who condemned the Maidan coup. It was an undemocratic, violent coup that started Ukraine on the path to war, civil war, and a direct war with Russia. He was murdered in the streets of Kiev by neo-Nazis who were acting on behalf of the Ukraine security services. And he was targeted by that website, Miro Dvorets. They marked him off. Then we saw in 2022, as David Miller mentioned in that article, Daria Dugina, who is a commentator and the daughter of a famous Russian nationalist philosopher named Alexander Dugin, who the whole Western press would say was Putin's brain, even though it's unclear if they ever even met or if he was even very influential in Russia. He was targeted with a car bomb. She happened to be in the car that these Ukrainian terrorists targeted. And so they killed her, and she was kind of an up-and-coming geopolitical commentator who has appeared a lot in international media. So they mark off on this website, liquidated. Months later, almost a year later, you appear on it. Anya Parampil appears on it. Aaron Maté appears on it. Scott Ritter's on it. Roger Waters is on it. Henry Kissinger, of all people, is on it because he warned against the consequences of the proxy war. And it is, so there's a clear precedent for this website inciting the murder, assassination of journalists, terrorism against critics of the Ukrainian state. And yet there's no outcry, Jimmy, from any of these press freedom groups, the Committee to Protect Journalists and all these big time NGOs, about the fact that you're on it, that journalists are on it, award-winning journalists like Aaron Maté.
And again, let's, so journalism, so organizations that are set up to protect journalism from things just like this, they're not saying anything. Why would those, what organizations are those and why aren't they saying anything?
Well, like the Free Press Foundation, the Committee to Protect Journalists. I mean, look at who's backing them. They're backed by people. They're backed by the Open Society Foundations that helped fund the Maidan coup in 2014. They're backed by Pierre Omidyar, whose money helped set up a Ukrainian broadcast station called Romadsky that was designed as an information weapon to activate the Maidan coup. They honor journalists from these Ukrainian information warfare sites all the time at their conferences. So it would kind of cut against their agenda if they started to acknowledge that maybe this is not a state that's fighting for democracy. It's actually a sort of Pinochet-style autocracy run by a comic actor, no offense, who is turning to death squads to ice and terrorize all of his political opponents. I mean, Zelensky has illegalized all opposition parties. He has outlawed all opposition media. He has had his chief political opponent who ran against him in two successive elections arrested and beaten, and all of his associates jailed, hounded out of the country, or killed. We've seen on video people accused of being suspected Russian collaborators thrown into mass graves by neo-Nazis from the Azov Battalion. So this is what's happening, and now it's coming to us. This is the terror and autocracy that we've funded in Ukraine coming back home with the total silence of these fake press freedom NGOs, which also said nothing about Julian Assange. I mean, the Committee to Protect Journalists even issued a statement in 2020, I believe it was, stating that Julian Assange is not a real journalist, so they're not going to mention him among their list of jailed journalists at the end of the year.
Jesus Christ. The whole goddamn world is corrupt like this now, right? There's no...
The whole West is corrupt.
Yeah, the whole, the whole West is corrupt like this. We have a death economy. It's all about military and hegemony. And AOC, I was surprised. She's very sensitive to violent threats towards people, public people, especially herself. She hasn't spoken out about this. She hasn't spoken out about American journalists being targeted by a country, a government that we're propping up to the tune of $200 billion. She has nothing. They're not saying anything about it. Isn't that something?
I mean, they've just made a farce out of press freedom. At least I think AOC signed the letter finally calling for Julian Assange's release. But, you know, it took this long. He's been in jail for what, 5 years, just being tortured nonstop, held in solitary confinement, can barely even see his own children. So it took him this long. But, you know, the State Department had its press freedom day event. And yeah. I mean, they just make a farce out of it. It was great that they were interrupted by Code Pink because they wouldn't mention Julian Assange. But it's like you have to basically do what the U.S. government wants, like to be a complete the guy that they all centered this event around was the Wall Street Journal reporter who had gone for some reason to a metallurgical factory in Russia and was like asking employees how much weapons Russia was producing. He was sent on some kind of like suicide mission by his editors at the Wall Street Journal. So this is the U.S.'s cause celeb as they maintain the torture and persecution of Julian Assange indefinitely. So, I mean, and this kill list fits right into that, right into the agenda.
And are you a little surprised at how little coverage that something like this gets from even other independent media?
Well, I think I was the first reporter in Washington, D.C., among the entire press corps in Washington. I mean, I'm not really a member of the press corps here, but I am a reporter, I think, to ask the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. about this kill list. And I was standing there with Anya yesterday.
Oh, you sent me that video. Oh, let me grab that video. Damn it. I forgot to grab that video and put it in this segment.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it wasn't.
We'll put that in post. Right.
All right.
Didn't AOC fight harder for the guy that was stalking Elon Musk's jet?
Yes.
With an app? She spoke up more for that
than Julian Assange, for sure. And she's certainly not going to speak up for Aaron Maté, Anya Perrenpiller, or me for being put on this kill list by a government that we're in bed with.
Isn't you, Aaron and Anya, being put on this list closer to literal violence than you criticizing her for failing to back Medicare for All?
You would think.
Or like the force to vote.
Yeah, you would think that this would be at least rise to the level of stochastic violence.
They're corrupt, but they're
stochastic
trying.
Stochastic terrorism. That's it. Yeah. Stochastic terrorism. So I could freak out about this. What am I supposed to do?
I mean, it's a badge of honor in a way. It's not. I mean, if you were in Ukraine, you would have to flee your home. You would have already have had to, but if this happened now and you were still in your home, you'd have to flee and go into hiding, and hopefully you'd be able to get out of the country.
Well, also in Russia, they would probably come try to get you as well, like the other couple of people on that list.
Yeah, they actually went into the Russian Federation, into Moscow, to kill a Russian citizen who is not involved in the military effort in any way. She was an intellectual. And we've seen the Ukrainian-backed terrorists target Russian writers and intellectuals inside Russia these past few weeks. First, Vladlen Tatarsky, who was a military blogger. He had previously served in the army. They sent someone into a cafe in St. Petersburg who blew up the whole cafe and killed him. Bellingcat cheered that attack on, straight-up terror attack. They went and they car-bombed a Russian novelist who is a supporter of the war inside Russia. And the deputy head of Ukrainian intelligence said that Ukraine aims to assassinate Vladimir Putin, and Ukraine staged a drone attack on the Kremlin. So they're carrying out terror attacks inside Russia as their war effort falters, and they're putting all of their online critics, including a jack-off nightclub comedian, on a literal government kill list. I mean, doesn't that tell you anything about the kind of government that we are sponsoring? I mean, I saw Samantha Power, the head of USAID, yesterday at this event in Washington, brag about how we are literally giving $15 billion. We have given $15 billion in cash to pay Ukrainian teachers and healthcare workers and public employees. This is while LA teachers in LA have to go on strike to get better wages. We're literally paying them, and she's bragging about it. And that government, at the same time, is putting our journalists, is marking us for death. And I wasn't put on this list, Jimmy, but another group called MOLFAR, which is based in London, run by former Ukrainian government workers, they created this dossier of me, and they sent it to hundreds and hundreds of journalists and activists around the world. And it was like this dodgy dossier claiming that Vladimir Putin had bought my home, and it doxed me and my entire family and even my family's coworkers who have nothing to do with any of this, contained all their personal information.
That, I can see the American press doing that, but it's a little obnoxious to for the Ukrainian press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, this is the end of the Western civilization, as you know it, is coming to an end. I that's not hyperbole.
the mask of liberal democracy is definitely lifted. I mean,
yeah,
everybody knows this isn't a war for democracy.
I don't think so. I was on stage last night in Burbank. People still surprised to hear that we're actually in bed with Nazis and it's not a Putin talking point. People still surprised to hear that.
Do you think you could maybe compromise and put a medal on a Nazi at like a Disney thing?
That's right. Still, John Stewart hasn't been made to at least even explain why he put a medal on a Nazi.
He didn't know about it. The guy covered the black son of the SS.
Well, he should address it now, but he can't address it now because he would have to tell the truth about what's happening in Ukraine, and then all the Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden voters would hate him again. Just like they hated him when he told the truth about the Wuhan virus being created in a lab, they hated him, ostracized him, and he doesn't want that to happen again.
No.
And so he's not going to tell people the truth about Ukraine, and he isn't.
But he knows that Tucker Carlson is evil.
Yeah, he knows Tucker Carlson is evil, but not Joe Biden, the guy he probably voted for. Tucker Carlson never bombed anybody or committed a war crime or tortured anybody.
But he knows what he's doing. I'm being John Stewart.
This event was about profiting off of war, turning Ukraine into a laboratory.
You're absolutely
the ruins of Ukraine into a laboratory for the fourth industrial revolution.
You're absolutely
getting
wrong.
Ukrainians all in a digital.
Now you're not interested in the answer.
Please. And can you tell me why my colleague Anya Karp was on a kill list by your government? Your interior ministry maintains a kill list of journalists, and my partner here, Anya Parnfil, is on it.
Unlike in Ukraine, you can't kill and ban your opposition here. Our Nazis actually have to hide behind the government, not serve in the government.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Check out my new stand-up special, COVID Lies Are Funny, at jimmydore.com. We're going to be on tour in Northampton, Massachusetts, Syracuse, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, Los Angeles, Bakersfield, California, Baltimore, Maryland, and San Francisco, California. Plus, did we say Chicago? There's lots of stuff. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for tickets. See you there. Right now, I want to talk about how they figured out that, yes, turns out there were lots of feds in the January 6th crowd. Breaking: Washington FBI field office confirms undercover officers, confidential informants, and FBI assets were embedded in the crowds at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. This is an article from Gateway Pundit from May 18th, Thursday. Senator Ted, now here's Ted Cruz. He's gonna grill the FBI's Jill Sanborn on Ray Epstein. Do you remember this? First of all, let me get back to this. Matt Gaetz confirmed today that the government was running several assets in the crowds during the January 6, 2021 protests in Washington, D.C. Dozens, if not hundreds, of government operatives filled the protests at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. The Gateway Pundit previously identified 20 different confirmed incidents and operations involving federal, state, and local government operatives who infiltrated the massive Trump crowds. Each one of these incidents has been confirmed by the far-left press or the government in court documents. We currently have no idea how many federal, state, and local government operatives were working undercover on January 6th, but it looks like it's close to 100 operatives. I bet you it's way more. Leading the charge on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Recent court documents reveal the Biden Department of Justice admitting to at least 40 undercover operatives within the Proud Boys alone. So the Department of the DOJ had 40 inside the Proud Boys on January 6th. The U.S. government finally admitted in this letter they sent out before the trial that they were running confidential human resources. They called them CHSs, those are people working for the feds. They call them CHSs inside the Oath Keepers organization. In November of 2022, the FBI finally admitted that they had 8 informants inside the Proud Boys organization on January 6th and likely more. So the FBI had 8, the DOJ had 40. The FBI had as many as 8 informants inside the Proud Boys in the months around the January 6th Capitol attack. Recent court papers indicate raising questions about how much federal investigators were able to learn from them before and after it took place. So they, you know that the feds knew that January 6th was going to happen. And so now you know, well, why didn't they do anything to try to stop it? Because they were egging it out and pushing it on because they wanted this to happen.
Yeah, because what would be the long-term consequence of that?
The long-term consequence of that is you can disqualify Donald Trump from being president again because you can disqualify his whole political organization, his whole political movement as terrorists. And that's what they did. The Department of Justice, and remember, if it wasn't Donald Trump, if Bernie Sanders actually had the sack to go ahead and grab power, they'd be doing this to Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders supporters. The Department of Justice admitted to 40 government CSA Proud Boys. Okay. Shocked, the Department of Justice now admits that another 40 undercover agents were with the Proud Boys. The vast majority of the group was paid by the government as either W-2 employees or as CHSs. And here, at least 2 law enforcement agencies each outnumbered the FBI in terms of running undercover agents, informants, and CHSs on January 6th. First, the D.C. Metro Police had 13 undercover plainclothes agents among the Proud Boys and other parts. So they had 13. The FBI is admitting to 9. The Department of Justice says 40. There appears to have been 19 CHSs on January 6th belonging to the agency called HIS, Homeland Security Investigation. So that's even more. Wow. When added to the 8 FBIs, but this means that there were at least 40 undercover informants or agents doing surveillance among them on Thursday, March. Okay, so there you go. And the number keeps growing to 50 or more that they are admitting to. Breaking, another doozy of a motion filed today by the Proud Boys defense lawyer related to informants, undercover agents. The number of D.C. Metro undercover agents keeps growing. So let's see. Where's the number? Let me get it. And just the last weekend, the defense learned that there was at least 10 to 12 additional previously unknown plainclothes Metropolitan Police Department officers among the Proud Boys. This brings the total number of informants among defendants on or around January 6th to 6 or 50 or more. And there's great reason to believe that number is higher. And now this Washington, D.C. FBI field office confirmed on Thursday that undercover officers, confidential informants, and FBI assets were present. Despite the FBI director, Ray, testifying that there weren't. So that guy should be in prison. And so Michael Schellenberg, who done a lot of reporting, and he says this. Indeed, there may have been hundreds of undercover government agents and informants, both local and federal, in the January 6th crowd. According to one January 6th witness, there were 100 to 200 Secret Service agents alone at the Capitol before and during the breach of the police barriers. So no one has even mentioned the Secret Service yet. It wouldn't surprise me if there were 1,000 feds in that goddamn. And by the way, they won't release the video, right? So this is a FBI whistleblower testifying under oath that FBI won't allow 11,000 hours of January 6th footage to be released because it would expose undercover agents committing crimes inside the Capitol. Not only was January 6th a Fed setup, but now it's confirmed that the FBI is also covering its tracks. So just as we've been reporting all along, January 6th was a Fed operation, and now they're covering their tracks. And listen to what this guy says.
Those individuals were inside the Capitol. to which the SSA responded back, and I was privy to these conversations firsthand. Why can't you show us? Why can't you just send us give us access to the 11,000 hours of video that's available? Because there may be UC's undercover officers or CHS's confidential human sources on those videos whose identity we need to protect.
So, Mr. Allen, you got retaliated.
So that's why, because they don't want you to see the feds inside the Capitol doing illegal stuff. And they tried to ask the FBI before. Ted Cruz tried to ask the FBI, how many feds did you have in the crowd January 6th? And this was the answers he got.
How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
So now you know why she can't answer any of those questions, because if she told the truth, they'd find out that that January 6th was an FBI psyop and they had a couple of hundred of feds doing this psyop on January 6th. That's why she can't tell you the truth. And now he's going to ask you, who is Ray Epps? And she's going to pretend like she doesn't know. And we all know who Ray Epps is, and he's going to show you.
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered, and there's video out there of him chanting, "Tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol." This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, fed, 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 fed." Ms. Sadburn, was Ray Epps a fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Shortly thereafter, the FBI put out a public post seeking information on individuals connected with violent crimes on January 6th. Among those individuals in the bottom there is Mr. Epps. The FBI publicly asked for information, identifying, offering cash rewards leading to the arrest. This was posted, and then sometime later,
they took
magically,
him off.
Mr. Epps was taken disappeared off the most from the public list. Posting. According to public records, Mr. Epps has not been charged with anything. No one's explained why a person videoed urging people to go to the Capitol, a person whose conduct was so suspect the crowd believed he was a Fed, would magically disappear from the list of people the FBI was looking at. Ms. Sadburn, a lot of Americans are concerned that the federal government deliberately encouraged illegal and violent conduct on January 6th. My question to you, and this is not an ordinary law enforcement question, this is a question of a public accountability. Did federal agents or those in service of federal agent actively encourage violent and criminal conduct on January 6th?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
So there you go. More proof. Hundreds of feds embedded in the January 6th inside the Proud Boys. the DC cops, Department of Justice, FBI, all kinds of people infiltrating that crowd. It's weird that they couldn't stop them. A newly released Harris Harvard poll conclusively demonstrates how radically out of touch liberal corporate media is with the views of Americans. It's not just that corporate media rejects Americans' views. They don't even permit those views to be heard. You want to see? So it's this poll here. It's a Harvard Harris poll. And it was taken from May 17th and 18th, 2023, and 2004 registered voters, okay? So the first thing he points out, Glenn Greenwald points out, is that the majorities of Americans say it is false. This is the big one, I would say, that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. The majority of Americans say that. After 7 years of nonstop Russia, 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 two impeachments, Russia, Russia, the majority of Americans don't buy it. In other words, they view the story that the U.S. media aggressively centered for 3 years as a hoax and a fraud. So he's wrong by 3 years. They didn't stop talking about Russia when Trump, first of all, they started in 2016, and they didn't stop after he got out of office. They're still doing it. So at minimum, it's five straight years. I'm going to say seven. So in other words, Americans view the number one story that U.S. corporate media pushed for five, six, seven straight years to be a hoax and a fraud. Yet NBC and CNN won't even bring people on who disagree with that. So the majority of Americans don't believe in Russiagate. MSNBC and CNN don't even bring people on to debunk it. They never brought on Glenn Greenwald to debunk it. They never brought on Aaron Maté to debunk it, even though he won awards debunking it. They won't bring on me. You think they could humiliate me easily, right? They're like, oh, okay, we'll bring in that pothead comedian Jimmy Dore, and then we'll make him look like a jerk, and then people will think Russiagate's real. You know, have me go out with Mehdi Hasan, and then he'd talk over me like he did Matt Taibbi and what have you. Here's another one. Do you think Donald Trump worked in concert with Russia to win the presidency, or was that a false story? There it is, 56% of Americans. But the important here, so this here, this column here, it says, do you think he worked with Russia? If you heard of the Durham report, that's the question. If you heard of the Durham report, you probably didn't think that Trump worked with Russia. So almost 6 out of 10 people who heard about the Durham report, remember the Durham report just came out, and it debunked Russiagate was started by the Hillary Clinton campaign as a way to smear Donald Trump, and the FBI went along with it. And then the corporate media picked it up. That was always made up. And so that's what the Durham report revealed. And so if you heard of that report, you are more likely to not believe Russiagate. So if you hadn't heard of Russiagate, you still think it's false, 55%. And they're not doing good. So if you're in a Republican, only 20% of Republicans think Trump worked with Russia. That's the 20% of the Republicans that are never Trumpers, you know, like the Cheneys and stuff like that. That's the Lincoln Project, that stuff. But 81% of Republicans think that the Russiagate is a false story, because it is. What about Democrats? 30%. Now, think about this. Think about this. Nonstop, everybody in the Democratic Party and everybody they watch in corporate news has been telling them Russiagate is real and Trump's a traitor. And still, 3 out of 10 Democrats don't buy it. 3 out of 10 Democrats don't buy it. And then let's go with independents. 60% of independents don't believe in Russiagate. So 81% of Republicans and 60% of independents. Wow. So is it, to me, that's kind of stunning that we've had wall-to-wall, 24/7 ubiquitous coverage of Russia, 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 Trump and Russia and Russia, and still the overwhelming majority of Americans don't believe it. Independents, 60% don't, and 81% of Republicans. And then even Democrats, only 70% of them believe it. 30% of Democrats don't believe it. Wow. Do you think that this, now here's another one. Do you think that the Steele dossier that included salacious accusations against Trump in a Russian hotel and stated Russia had a tape of what trans, so there's, that's the P. They said they had a tape, a video of Trump being peed on by Russian prostitutes. Now that was always, that was just always made up. And 81% of the people who are Republicans thought that was a false story. And almost 30% of the Democrats think that was a false story. Independents, 60% think it's a false story. 6 out of 10. So pretty close to the other question. Glenn Greenwald then says, Americans also believe that the materials on the Hunter Biden laptop are real and are not and never were Russian disinformation. So again, Americans view the claim that the U.S. corporate media and the CIA spread for weeks before the 20 election to help Biden win was a fraud. The majority of Americans, the 60%, so 59%, almost 6 out of 10 Americans believe that the Hunter Biden laptop story was valid and that the idea that it was Russian disinformation, that's false. 60% of Americans think it's real. 42% of Americans, so almost 60% of independents believe that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. Almost 4 out of 10 Democrats believe it's real. And 8 out of 10 Republicans. So you barely get a majority of, well, I don't know if that's barely. So 60% of them, 59% of Democrats think that the Hunter Biden story is just, but 41% don't. They think it's real. We'll keep going on this poll. It's quite a poll. Majorities of Americans also believe that Hunter Biden engaged in criminal influence peddling using his father's name. And the FBI is not investigating these crimes. Joe Biden participated in Hunter's illegal influence peddling and profiteering scheme. The majority of Americans believe this. Let's see it. 55% of Americans think that the FBI and the Justice Department are fully... do you think that the FBI and the Justice Department are fully investigating the Hunter Biden laptop and his foreign business dealings? Or do you think they are not really fully investigating the issue? Only 45% think they're fully investigating. 55% say they're not really investigating it. Again, a majority of Americans. And again, from what you know, do you think Hunter Biden was involved in illegal influence peddling and tax evasion? Or do you think he was not involved in such crimes? 63% of Americans think he was. That's a pretty big majority. If you got that in an election, it would be considered a landslide. 37% of Americans think Hunter Biden was not involved in the leak. That's almost, that's got to be... From what you know, do you think Joe Biden was involved with his son in an illegal influence peddling scheme while he was vice president? Or do you think that is not the case? Majority of Americans think Joe Biden is a criminal and was involved in criminal shenanigans with his son. Almost 60% of independents, 80% of GOP, a quarter of Democrats think he was. 1 in 4 Democrats think Joe Biden was involved illegally in influencing, peddling with his son. Wow. This is quite a poll. You know why it's quite a poll? Because just as Chomsky points out, what the corporate media is there to do is to make you think that what you think, no one else thinks it. And here's what they want you to think that everybody else thinks. And then you see a poll like this and it reminds you, oh, there's a lot more people out there like me. Because it's, but your position, your ideas are never reflected back to you in the corporate media. That's how they manufacture consent, as Chomsky pointed out, and Ed Herman. That's how they manufacture consent. They never show you your opinion reflected back in the news. Well, that's why this show's here. We're here reflecting it back. Over half of America, the majority of Americans, thinks Joe Biden's a criminal, and he did criminal stuff with his son. Independents, almost 6 out of 10 independents think he's corrupt and doing corrupt stuff with his son. Hey, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
Chairman, it's President Joe Biden.
Oh, Mr. President, thanks for calling. You know, I really love the fact that the president calls into my show and I get to grill him.
Well, yeah, that shit ends today, my friend.
What? What do you mean?
Jimmy, my staff is constantly haranguing me about these phone calls. They say, Mr. P, why are you calling into this guy's live stream and letting him make you look like an idiot every week? And I had to think about it for a while before I finally said, I don't know.
Well, at least you're honest.
I was not honest. The honest answer would have been, I don't remember doing any of this. But I've come to learn that that makes people nervous.
I see. So now what? No more calls from you?
I'm still going to call, but I'm not going to let you make me seem incompetent. So no more interviews with you.
But you can still call?
Yes. And deliver to you my thoughts of the day. Call them Joe Biden's thought items. Just my musings on various topics of importance.
Okay, then.
Item one. A man tried to kill me yesterday, but I'm happy to announce that he failed.
Okay.
A lone 19-year-old flew from St. Louis to D.C., rented a truck and tried to slam it into a White House barrier. He said he wanted to kill me and seize power. Just goes to show that these well-organized coup attempts are still part of Trump's legacy.
Jesus.
And also the number one threat to our nation's security continues to be Midwestern Indian American teens who have converted to Nazism.
Yeah, right. I heard about that.
Item two. The nation is saddened by the passing of legend Tina Turner today.
Oh, I didn't know she passed.
Yeah, rest in peace. Tina, you moved generations with your sound and movement and tassels. She brought out the best in all of us and reminded us that, goddammit, love has everything to do with it.
Yep.
I hope she's in heaven right now, finally reunited with her beloved husband, Ike Turner.
I don't think that...
You don't get your own items. You don't have Biden items, only me. Item number three.
Okay.
A man tried to kill me
yesterday. No, you already did that one, Mr. President.
God damn it. Now I've lost count. I fucking knew this would happen. Next item. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Florida man who lost his arm in an alligator attack. Apparently went out back behind a bar to pee in a pond when the attack occurred. And I think I speak for everyone I say, that could have gone way worse, buddy. Way worse. Count your blessings. All five of them. Six, I guess.
I actually agree with you on that one.
I thought you would, big guy. Next item. Governor Ron DeSantis is now officially running for president. Governor DeSantis also recently touted the possibility of a 7-2 conservative majority on the Supreme Court, which politically speaking is a smart move on his part. While Trump may dangle the possibility of armed insurrection in front of his followers, DeSantis is literally gunning for the Civil Rights Act. Smart guy. And whichever one of these two titans wins that contest, it will be my honor to lose to that man in the general election.
Well, how gracious of you, sir.
Thank you. Next item, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, brother.
What, not a fan?
Never mind.
Hillary Clinton, although no longer active in politics, came out recently and showed us what Democratic Party solidarity really looks like. She said that Dianne Feinstein should not retire, and I found that exceedingly brave, and it was the right thing to do. It's about time someone stood up this ugly wave of ageism we're seeing in politics, and it means so much that it is coming from a young person like Hillary. Dianne Feinstein may not remember everything or know exactly where she is at any given moment, but she knows the most important thing of all.
And what's that?
Oh, man, I forgot. Anyway, final item, Jimmy. Orcas.
What? Orcas?
Killer whales. Have you heard about these things, these killer whales?
No, I haven't.
Well, they are in a state of revolt off the coast of Europe presently. The older ones are teaching the younger ones to attack yachts sailing around the Mediterranean. No one has been hurt yet, but it's only a matter of time. Boats have been damaged, destroyed. And if this trend spreads across the Atlantic, we're doomed. Imagine, Jimmy, yachts off the coast of Nantucket being attacked by these clearly socialist sea monsters. Jimmy, if elected, I promise to prevent this from ever happening in the United States.
How? How?
I said no questions. How I will do it is this. I will form a task force of top scientists. We will learn their language with little squeaks and clicks and whatever the fuck, and communicate with them. We will demand they stop this nonsense immediately. Maybe if they have reasonable requests like freeing their cousins from SeaWorld, we can talk. But if this is just chaos and mischief, it needs to end. Now. I take my boat, Jimmy, I take my own boat out on the coast of Delaware sometimes, into the Delaware Bay. And I do not need these black and white jokers fucking with my shit. Dude, I'd be so fucking mad. So mad. No, fuck that.
Okay. Is that it then?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm thinking about today. But mainly Tina Turner and the whale thing.
Well, I'm glad you're staying on task as president.
You better believe it, buddy. These whales are going to get it, Jimmy. I swear to God.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. President. That was fantastic. Check out my new stand-up special, COVID Lies Are Funny, at jimmydore.com. We're going to be on tour in Northampton, Massachusetts, Syracuse, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, Los Angeles, Bakersfield, California, Baltimore, Maryland, and San Francisco, California. Plus, did we say Chicago? There's lots of stuff. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for tickets. See you there.
Freak out.
All the voices performed today are by the one and only, the inimitable Mike McRae. He can be found at MikeMcRae.com. That's it for this week. You be the best you can be, and I'll keep being me.
Do not freak out. We're raising money today for the Tower Fund here at WBAI.
And without that tower, we can't stay on the air.
Please, just give what you can.
And those contributions can be small or they can be large, but those are the contributions that we need to make in order to beat back the other side. No one is going to do it for us.
Even a few dollars a month helps to keep us on the air.
Let's face it, without Pacifica, what do you have? NPR is too milquetoast. PBS, too milquetoast. Without Pacifica, we're dead in the water.
And that pledge line is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
And we're only asking those who can give it, those who can afford it. We know that there's some people out there who cannot afford it, and that's one of the problems. Those of us who relatively have must stand up for those